Now, when it comes to working out alternatives to overfishing in the oceans, ecotourism is often considered to be the perfect win-win solution, creating an incentive to protect marine life while at the same time generating income. We caught up with Andrea Marshall from the Foundation for the Protection of Marine Megafauna in Mozambique to find out how those elegant cousins of sharks, the enormous manta rays, are threatened by an emerging fishery for their gills to make into Chinese medicines, and whether ecotourism offers a viable alternative.
Manta rays are caught sort of across the globe, but when people imagine a manta ray fishery, sometimes they don't quite understand sort of the different types of fisheries that occur. Obviously, there are subsistence or artisanal fisheries that occur, you know, throughout their distribution, where indigenous populations have been targeting them for food for many, many years. And that's not something that we're as worried about, because those are sort of historical, traditional fisheries. And a lot of times they catch animals in small numbers. And then obviously you get bycatch fisheries, which are it's a very contentious issue, because obviously the world needs to eat, and there's fisheries food that's caught around the globe, and unfortunately people are not catching them sometimes in a sustainable way, and a lot of other animals die as bycatch. And for some reason, manta rays seem to get caught up in nets when people are targeting things like tuna or whatnot. People are not trying to catch the mantas, and they're actually quite aware that you shouldn't be targeting mantas at all, but there's not anything that they feel that they can do about it. So a lot of these traditional fisheries in places like Indonesia or places like, you know, Taiwan or even in India, they're catching large amounts of these mantas and mobulas in these nets, which is, you know, disastrous to any of those populations. Clearly, the thing that we're most concerned with is fish, like target fisheries, places where people actually are targeting manta rays specifically, because they are trying to extract the gill rakers from the animals to sell to the Chinese medicinal trade market. And that is, I think, the most sort of abominable use of mantas at the present time, which is, you know, they're not using them for food or anything. They're actually targeting them for medicinal products that actually don't work. And I actually feel that that's probably where we need to target most of our energy at the moment, is trying to stop those fisheries.
And where in the world are mantas being targeted for their gills?
The target fisheries are springing up, particularly in Southeast Asia. Some of the worst I've ever seen are in places like Indonesia, where, you know, we've seen as many as 500 mantas a year being taken in some of the fisheries in places like Lombok. But we're also seeing that it's starting to spread to areas like India and Sri Lanka, you know, and even across to places like Africa, where local fishermen are now being told that they can get large sums of money for taking these animals.
I guess a lot of conservationists feel that we should really be talking about providing alternatives for people who would like to make money from, say, fishing species like manta rays. And ecotourism is something that's often put forward as that possible alternative. Do you think we can make manta tourism work?
This is probably one of the closest issues to my own heart, because, you know, I do, you know, the majority of my research is done in Mozambique, which is a coastline that is very still undiscovered, still very pristine. So in the time, you know, almost the decade that I've been working in Mozambique, I've actually started to see tourism on the rise in the area. And fundamentally, tourism can be a very positive influence, especially when trying to make governments understand the value of animals and also see an alternative to fishing. So if you can show them that by sustainably using, you know, resources like ocean resources to promote tourism in a sustainable way, then you can really sort of provoke change. However, the actual tourism itself needs to also be done slowly and sustainably in a way that doesn't change the animal behavior. And even in a place like Mozambique, where tourism is just budding, we're actually starting to see a shift in animal behavior already. And I know that many other people around the world, specifically with manta rays, have actually seen a negative response from too much tourism, you know, tourism that increases too quickly, and lots of human traffic on the reefs that's actually changing the behavior of the mantas. So I am definitely encouraging people that want to promote tourism in their area for mantas as an alternative for fishing to develop codes of conduct to, you know, make sure that people are diving responsibly and actually be very conscious of slow growth, you know, not expanding too quickly, not having too much human traffic, and actually using science, using biologists as a way to investigate how you can make it sustainable. Like one of the things that we've noticed in Mozambique is that people are actually diving with mantas at cleaning stations, and cleaning stations appear to be very critical habitats for mantas, but mantas only use them during the daytime hours. In fact, they seem to use them only from 7 o'clock in the morning till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Those are the exact same hours that divers are actually wanting to go on dives. So actually, if you have divers constantly on the reef during those hours, mantas are getting no reprieve, no private time on the cleaning stations at all. So it's been a suggestion of mine in Mozambique that if we're going to continue diving at these critical habitats with mantas, that they do them for a few hours in the morning and then make sure for the rest of the day there's no diving allowed on the reef, so that the mantas are getting a little bit of sort of reprieve from human traffic. So I definitely think it's important to work with scientists to actually examine the behavior of the animals so that you can modify sort of the diver behavior to limit the impact. So it's really, really important for everyone to work together, and that's something that you don't often see around the world. Sometimes you get the tourism operations working against scientists because they feel that they have dissimilar objectives, but they actually have similar objectives, which is to, you know, protect the animals and make sure it's a sustainable industry.
Well, clearly encountering a manta ray in the wild is an unforgettable experience. I think I'd be a bit terrified by it, actually. They're so huge. But it's worrying to think that ecotourism sometimes isn't as harmless to wildlife as we might imagine, although it has to be a better option than killing manta rays for their gills. That was Andrea Marshall from the Foundation for the Protection of Marine Megafauna giving us the lowdown on manta ray ecotourism.
Are there really plenty more fish in the sea? Find out with Naked Oceans on the web at nakedscientist.com/oceans.